Hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you're with us today, and we are continuing in our study of the Gospels. And as you know, if you've been following, we're coming very close to the end. We're already at the Last Supper, and our plan is once we finish a couple of more incidents surrounding the Last Supper, and then we're going to go back to John's Gospel, John 14, 15, 16, and 17, which took place just before the Garden of Gethsemane, and we've got a chunk, a rich chunk of Bible verses and passages and Bible truth, and wow, amazing four chapters. And then we'll continue on and finish out the betrayal and the crucifixion and the resurrection. Okay, so that's our plan. And today we're in Matthew 26, where we're still, a couple of things are still happening just before Jesus and the group go into the Garden of Gethsemane, and they are betrayed by Judas Iscariot. So, let's pray, and we're going to dig in. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege of studying your word today. And Father, I pray that you would open our hearts, that you would illuminate our spirits by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he would enable us to understand and grasp spiritual truth today, and enable us to apply it to our lives, and let it change our behavior, Lord, and our very attitudes in life. We commit this time in the scripture to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let's get into the word. Matthew chapter 26, let's look at verse 31. New King James Version of the Bible. And what do we study here at Lon Solomon Ministries? I'm not going to forget it. Say it with me. What? The Bible? Come on. The whole Bible. Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our life. So here we go. Then Jesus said to them, all of you, he's talking to his disciples, will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Now that's from Zechariah chapter 13, chapters 12, 13, and 14 of Zechariah are messianic in amazing ways. And that it's in that section we find out about the 30 pieces of silver that Judas was paid, that's predicted there. So this is, he's quoting the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus, another messianic prophecy. And after doing that, he said, but after I have been raised, I will go before you in Galilee. Remember John chapter 21. He met up with them again while they were fishing. And that's when he says, Peter, do you really love me? Remember that? Okay. And Peter answered and said to him, Lord, even if everybody shall be made to stumble because of you, yet I will never be made to stumble. Ugh. If all these yellow bellies stumble, Lord, and none of these guys will stand with you, I'll go to the death with you, Peter. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, Peter, that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, yet I will never deny you. And all the disciples said so. Now, let's compare this with Luke's gospel, same event, verse 31 in Luke chapter 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, talking to Peter, indeed, Satan has asked to have you that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. And he said to him, Lord, Peter did, I am ready to go with you both to prison and even to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you deny me, but deny that you know me three times. When the Lord says to him, when you have turned, strengthen your brethren, he's referring to John chapter 21, of course, where Jesus calls Peter back in the ministry and says, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. We'll get to that passage. Okay, Jesus is just prefiguring that passage here in what he says to Peter. Now, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, a very familiar event in the Scripture. And you might say, well, you know, Long, what in the world are we going to talk about in there? I mean, come on. It is what it is. Peter's going to deny the Lord. Ooh, my goodness. Derek, this passage is chock-a-block full with spiritual truth. So, you know how we do it here. We only do one truth at a time. And if one passage has more than one great spiritual truth we want to mention, we do more than one message on it, one on each of the truths, and that's what we're going to do here. So, we're going to be on this passage for a couple of weeks because it's so rich in its depth and its mercy. And let me first, let's do the first one today. The first one today is what Jesus says to Peter here in verse 31 of Luke 22. He says, Simon, Simon, let's put it up. Indeed, Satan has asked to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Say, okay. I don't see what's there for me. Oh, my friend, this is so significant. So significant. Let's go back to the book of Job. Job chapter 1, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Sons of God means angels, most likely. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a man who's blameless and upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him, a fence, and all his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But, Satan says, put forth your hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him personally. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. And the story goes on to say Satan wiped out all his animals, killed his children, and yet Job did not turn and curse the Lord. Instead, what did Job do? He said, naked, look at verse 21, he fell on the ground and worshiped, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame or impugn God. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 1. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth. And even though what you did all this evil to him, he still holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he will do, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power only, Satan. You must spare his life. And Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. But he didn't curse God. Instead, verse 10, he said, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. What do we see in this passage? Well, we see a lot of things. I mean, we see Satan is a real being. We see that apparently he has communication access with God during this present age. But here's what we see that I want you and I to notice. We see that when it comes to a follower of Christ like Job, a follower of God, a true believer, he must get permission to do anything to us. Did you notice? He asked God for permission to attack Job's possession and his children. And God said, yes, you can do this, but you can't put your hand on Job himself. And then he comes back, Satan does, and says, skin for skin, let me have at him and his personal health, and he'll curse you. And God said, okay, but you cannot take his life. Do you see that God put the limits on what Satan was allowed to do to Job as a true believer? Do you see that? Job did not have free rein. He did not have carte blanche to do anything he wanted to Job. No, he had to come and ask the Lord's permission to put his hands on Job, either his possessions or his health or anything. And God had to give permission, and God set the limits. He put boundaries around what Satan could do to Job and what he couldn't do. Do you see that? Do we all see that? Okay, that's so important that we understand that. You see, this is why. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let me read it to you. I'm back in the new, using the New King James now. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Now watch. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to endure. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to endure, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. How can God make a promise like that if he does not have control over what Satan and his evil beings can do to you? He does have control. That's the whole point. And that's why he can make that promise. Now, what you're able to bear and what I'm able to bear is different. And so, this is not some kind of just generalized condition and limitation God puts on what can be done to you and me, but it's individual. It's personal. If your name's Susie sitting out there listening to me, Susie may only be able to take this much from the enemy. And so Satan says, you can't do any more. You can't take Job's life. You can't do any more to Susie. And that's how he can promise Susie that God will never send on you more than you can bear. Now, George, sitting out there, may be able to withstand much more. Maybe his spiritual growth is much deeper at a given point. And so God may say, now with George, you can do more to him, but you still can't go past this point like you couldn't go past it with Job, because I also made George a promise that he won't be tempted beyond what he's able to endure. Are you with me? That's why when we say, I don't think I can take this, we can say to people, you know what, I know how hard this is, but yes, you can, because God's inspected it, and God's already approved it, and God would not have approved it. He promises he wouldn't have approved it for Satan to do to you if it was beyond your capability with his spirit, the help of his spirit, to endure. Okay, you with me? This is really important. You with me? So, let's summarize. If you're a believer in Jesus, the enemy has to get permission in order to be able to afflict you in any way, financially, health-wise, with your children, your grandchildren, your health, whatever it is. And God will never give him permission to afflict you beyond what God knows in his supernatural omniscience about your life. He knows everything about you. He will never give permission for the enemy to afflict you beyond what you are able to bear. He promises it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Does everybody see that? All right. Now, let's go back to Luke 22. Because Luke 22 fits perfectly with this truth. Look what Jesus says to Peter. I love this. He says, verse 31, Simon, Simon. Indeed, he says, Satan has asked to have you. Look at this. Who did he ask if he could have Peter? Well, he asked God, just the way he had to ask God if he could have Job, to work Job over. And this is what he wanted to do to Peter. Look, to sift you like wheat. You ever sifted wheat? I grew up in the old days. You know, I go all the way back, being born in 1948, and when I grew up in the 50s, I can still remember being in the kitchen, and there was this the little handheld machine with a mechanism on it, where when you pulled it like this, you put flour in it, and it had like a series of like a rudder. A series of metal grates in the bottom, and then a net, like a sifter. like a piece of screen with little holes in it. And as you did this, the wheat, those blades turned, and the wheat got sifted. So sifting wheat, I used to watch Coralie Goodman do this, and she would let me do it sometimes. And then the sifted wheat would come out into the bowl to make a cake or whatever. Got all the lumps out and whatever. This is what Jesus is referring to, that Satan wants to do this to Peter. And those blades tore that wheat up, demolished the wheat, got all the lumps out and everything. I mean, it tore that wheat up so that what came through was fine, like fine dust. That's what he wanted to do to Peter. He wanted to turn him into dust. He wanted to really let him have it. But notice he had to ask permission. Do you see what Jesus says here? Peter, Satan has asked to have you. He had to get permission to put his hands on Peter in any way. And Jesus goes on to say, but I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail. And I have put limits on what he can do to you to make sure that your faith will not fail. Look, could Satan do something to you and me and to Peter so egregious that he could cause our faith to fail? Yes, he could. Could he have done it to Job? Yes, he could. I think. But God said, no, you can't take it that far. I'm not going to let you. And God said, with Peter, Jesus said, I prayed for you, and we're not going to let him take it that far to cause your faith to fail. Not going to go that, he can't go that far. He doesn't have permission from God. And Lon, in your life, Susie, in your life, George, in your life, whoever is out there, God's not going to let him go that far. He wants to go that far. He'd love to destroy your faith and my faith. But he has to get permission. Do you understand that? He has to get permission to put his hands on you or me, on our children, on our finances, on our health, on anything. He has to get permission. And God's not going to give him permission to take us somewhere that we can't bear and where our faith will fail. Now, that's the end of our point for today, but we got to ask our most important question. And what is that? You know what it is. Here we go. Come on. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yeah. And I've already kind of given the so what away in today, that God will not let us get tempted beyond what we're able. He has to inspect it all. And what do we say about that? We say with Jackie Gleason, how sweet it is. How sweet it is that God does that for us. What a sweet and tender thing God is. Satan asked to have you, but he had to get permission, and we didn't give it to him. Me and God, Jesus said. I am God, of course. And God, we didn't give it to him to sift you like wheat. And we gave him permission to go so far, but after that, no. No. Not to sift you like wheat. And friends, God's never going to give Satan permission to sift you like wheat and cause your faith to fail. Never, ever is it going to happen. And so, whatever God sends, as hard as it is, you can bear up under it. Yes, you can. Because that's God's promise. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Yes, you can. With the Holy Spirit's help, and if you continue to trust God and not doubt him, you can make it through whatever he sends your way, because it's inspected and been approved by the God who says, I will never give the enemy permission to send something on you, listen now, that you can't handle, that will cause your faith to fail, or that will result in you being sifted like wheat and turned into nothing but powder. That's the point for today. And I know many of us are going through some really tough stuff right now in our own life, with our children, with our grandchildren. Listen, God is never going to let you and me get to the point in life where we don't have to trust him for something. My father-in-law said that. God's never going to let you get too old that you don't have to trust him for something. So no matter what it is or who you are, this thing is in your life to force you to keep trusting God. He's never going to let you get to the place you don't have to do that. It can be difficult. But oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. I can't. Oh, yes, you can. I can't make. Oh, yes, you can. Because God promises. There's a rock formation out in Colorado. It's in this one national park. And it's like a, I don't know what you call it. It's like a, like the arch in St. Louis. It's an arch. But it's not obviously that large. It's fairly small. And the road goes right through this arch. And that arch looks so little that you wonder if there's any way you're going to get your car through that arch. I mean, it's not very wide. And there's a place just when you come around the corner and you see the arch where you're tempted to put on your brakes and go, oof, I don't know. And there's a little sign there. I love this. There's a little sign right at that spot where the people, I guess, in the park know everybody puts on the brakes and looks at it and goes, I don't know. And you know what that little sign says? Just four words. It says, oh, yes, you can. How much do you love that? Oh, yes, you can. I'll never get my car through that. Oh, yes, you can. And I've driven through it. And there's not much space on either side. But, oh, yes, I could get through. And so God puts a little sign in 1 Corinthians 10:13. And that little sign says, oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Anytime you don't think you can, go read that verse. Memorize it. Oh, yes, you can. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Satan asked permission, Peter, to turn you into nothing but powder. And God and I prayed for you, and we said, no. I prayed to God for you. No. You say, man, how does that work with the internal workings of Satan showing up in heaven and the Godhead praying for the God the Son, praying to God the Father, is what I assume happened here for us. And inspecting everything for 8 billion people. I don't know. This is part of the hidden workings of the Godhead and of heaven. I don't have the slightest idea how all that works. I'm just taking it at face value what Jesus said. Satan asked, and we told him no. He could only go so far. Let me conclude by saying that ...32 years ago when my daughter Jill was born and began having massive seizures, uncontrolled, 6-8 grandmas a day, in her sleep, while she was awake, rescue squad, pediatric ICU, days in the hospital, sleeping in the chair, playing tag team, me and Brenda, so one of us could come home and see our other boys and get a shower. And not getting a good night's sleep for 8 years because Jill was having seizures all night. I gotta tell you, my friends, and I hope you don't think ill of me for this. There were some days that I got in my car to run carpool in the morning for my son John and my son Justin. And there were some days where a little voice whispered in my ear and said, "You know what? You can't take this anymore. Why don't you, after you drop the kids off, just keep driving west? Go to California. Disappear. Start over. Get rid of this pressure on you. Never be heard of again." And to fight that off, that satanic, evil voice off, I had to go back to biblical truth. Folks, that's what we go back to when we need stability in our life. We go back to biblical truth. And the biblical truth that I reminded myself of was God had inspected the situation that we had with my daughter Jill and made sure that we could bear up under it. And God had inspected and put limits on what could happen, and that the limits he put on, Satan had to live within those limits and couldn't take us outside those limits. And that, just like Peter, Satan had said, "God, let me have Lon Solomon and let me sift him like wheat. Let me destroy his faith. Let me embarrass him in Washington. Let me embarrass the gospel. Let me embarrass the work of God. Let me shame the work of God and turn him into nothing but dust." And God said, "Nope, sorry, can't do that. You don't have my permission to do that. Sorry. You can do this much to him. You can take him this far. You can take Brenda this far and their family, but that's as far as you can go. You can't go any farther. Now get out of here." And having that confidence made all the difference in the world. For me, for Brenda, our children. And that's why I would often say to Brenda when we were struggling and it was bad, I'd say, "You know, Brenda, we only got one of two choices today. We can trust God, we can doubt God. We're gonna trust God because we have his promises that this is inspected and it is within our limits. So we're just gonna trust him and ask for him to help us to get through." And Brenda would say that to me some days when she was doing better than I was. See, there's incredible strength that comes from knowing biblical truth. There's incredible strength that comes from memorizing biblical truth and applying it to your situation. There's incredible strength that comes from believing the promises of God to you and me. There's incredible fortitude and steadiness that comes from knowing that God put limits on what the enemy can do. He can only do so much. and he cannot do what is beyond our capability, and he cannot sift us into nothing but powder. God has said no. And when God says no, it's no. Did you notice Satan did not negotiate with God? Once God said no, Satan left. Because he knew you don't negotiate with God. And God says, no, Satan, you can't do that. Not to him, not to her. It's no. So in closing, oh, my friend, take heart from our message today. Take heart from the truth of the Word of God today. Take hope from the truth of the Word of God today. How sweet it is. All your problems have been inspected. Satan only can do what he gets permission to do to you. God has promised you he will never allow the enemy to do something to you that you can't bear up under. And he will never allow him to cause your faith to fail and turn you into spiritual dust. Never. Believe it. And may it fortify our souls today. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that even though Satan has asked for every one of us listening today who knows Christ, has asked, and maybe multiple times has asked, for permission to cause our faith to fail and sift us like wheat, you have said no. And that he cannot do it because you set limits on what he did to Job, and you set limits on everything that he wants to do to us. And your limits are merciful, and they are kind, and they are preservative to make sure our faith doesn't fail. So, dear Lord Jesus, use our study of the Word today to bring new hope, new fortitude, new strength, new stamina to our lives until the day we step on the shores of heaven and we worship and love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. What an incredible passage. Oh my gosh. How sweet it is. How sweet it is. Whoops. And how sweet it is. Yeah. Okay. We're going to be in the same passage next week, but with a different truth to emphasize. So we'll look forward to seeing you then, Lord willing. And have a wonderful week. Thank God for his ministry of inspection over our lives. God bless you.